This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Michelle Alloy, in for Madeline Brand. Abortion opponents celebrated last summer's Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade. But now they're looking for other ways to undo both federal and state regulations around the ability to terminate a pregnancy. In Texas, a group of anti-abortion medical organizations and doctors has sued to end the FDA's decades-old approval of a drug called mifepristone. It's one of two drugs used in tandem to end an early pregnancy. A decision in the case could come as soon as this week. And if abortion opponents are successful, the ruling could upend protections even in blue states like California and New York, where the right to an abortion is enshrined in the state's constitutions. It's Monday, so Press Play's Legal Eagle is here, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Hi.
Hi, Michelle. Good to be here.
Well, it is great to have you. So give us an overview of this case. What is the group's argument that mifepristone should now be banned?
This is a suit that's filed by conservative groups in Texas, and they're seeking to undo the FDA's approval, as you said, of mifepristone. And it's really a remarkable argument here. Mifepristone was approved more than two decades ago, and what they're claiming is that the FDA failed to do its job, that they failed to rigorously test this particular drug. We should say, despite the fact that the FDA, all indications are, did go through their typical rigorous scientific testing, and there's been decades of use of mifepristone since that approval.
Has this ever happened before? A group successfully been able to challenge a decades-old FDA decision to approve a drug and get it taken off the market?
Not that I'm aware of, and not that the Department of Justice is aware of, because they wrote in response that this was unprecedented and they couldn't find any prior case where a group said, we're looking at what the FDA did and we're looking at what they did again decades ago. And we want, as an advocacy organization, to upend that process. We want to say that they did not do their job. And what the Department of Justice is arguing here is that there are really no law or facts behind that assertion.
And is there a statute of limitations here, though? I mean, again, this was approved in 2000, 23 years ago. I would think that there would be a limit to the time period in which a drug's approval can be challenged.
So that is one of the issues in the case. There's an issue of standing in the case, whether or not the people who brought the case are actually harmed enough by the approval of the drug, or if, frankly, anybody's harmed by the approval. And then there's also the statute of limitations issue. And if the court wants to basically avoid that big question of, can an advocacy group, in this case, are they right to say that the FDA should not have approved mifepristone? They could go to those procedural arguments and say, well, there's a standing issue or there's a statute of limitations issue. But if they want to get to the big question, as I suspect maybe the judge in this case does, then they can move past that.
So could the groups challenging mifepristone's FDA approval try to come after the other drug in this two-drug regimen, misoprostol? If they're successful, I guess we need to put in that caveat.
So if they are successful, then yes, I think that provides a blueprint for them going after additional drugs. Now, the other drug in the two-drug treatment where people can obtain, again, these chemically induced abortions where they account for more than half of abortions throughout the country, that's widely used throughout the world. And it's widely used throughout the world on its own. So could they go after another drug? They could, but I think they might face an even more difficult battle given the widespread use of misoprostol.
And when it comes to abortion advocates, I think the big concern is not necessarily this decision that might be coming sometime this week. It's the path that it would likely take going from there. So let's say hypothetically that this judge in Texas does rule for the plaintiffs. Where does the case go from there, assuming the Biden administration would appeal?
So if they do appeal, then it goes to the conservative Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. I believe 12 of the 16 judges on that circuit are considered to be conservative jurists. At that point, if again, there's a three-judge panel that rules against the Biden administration for these anti-abortion advocates, then the Biden administration can decide to appeal to the full Fifth Circuit or go up to the Supreme Court. And like the Supreme Court said when it announced their decision in Dobbs, basically, we've done our job here. Now we leave it to the states. And a lot of us knew not at all. The floodgates for litigation are open. And this is one aspect of that type of litigation that could move its way back up to the Supreme Court.
And we have to say again, when we're speaking hypothetically, and there's a lot of ways that various decisions could or may go. But, you know, broadly speaking, let's say this does make it all the way up to the Supreme Court and the conservative justices do side with the plaintiffs. What could that mean, more broadly speaking, for the FDA's drug approval process?
I think that's such an important question because, of course, abortion is a hugely important question, but the FDA's approval process is also something that the public relies on, pharmaceutical companies rely on, and that's something the Department of Justice is really arguing here, which is, do you want an advocacy group and or one federal judge or a number of federal judges, if this is appealed, to be able to undercut what the FDA has done, not just for this particular drug, but what it could mean more largely to the process.
Switching to another story, you mentioned the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. A panel of judges there last week struck down a federal law that bans people subject to a restraining order due to domestic violence from possessing firearms. What did the court say?
Well, what the court said here, and this is one of these fascinating cases where the court is interpreting the Supreme Court's decision in Bruin from last term, is that there's no historic reason that you could allow a federal law that bans people who are subject to domestic violence restraining orders from having guns. And what they're saying here is we're looking at the Supreme Court's language in that Bruin case, and we're looking at the way they tell us to analyze Second Amendment restrictions. And we have to look just at the text and just at history. And we don't think there's any room for these restrictions under that new text.
And before we get into that new interpretation, does this law apply nationwide or is it just to the Fifth Circuit Appeals District?
Well, the law applies nationwide, but the ruling would apply at this point just to the Fifth Circuit, which includes Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas.
Okay, so this doesn't mean that anyone with a restraining order against them for domestic violence can now have a firearm without restrictions, right?
So at this point, based on the court's ruling, I think it's just a Fifth Circuit decision. There are some rulings dealing with nationwide injunctions. I don't think this is one of them.
Okay. And so you mentioned Bruin, this case the Supreme Court decided last summer. It basically created this new framework for how courts should interpret gun laws. Again, how did that decision factor into this particular case?
I think this decision just looms so large in this case. And actually, the case went up to the Fifth Circuit before. It was not particularly successful. It's a little procedurally complicated, but the punchline here is that after the Supreme Court's decision in Bruin, the Fifth Circuit took another look. They looked at this challenge and they said, okay, well, we have a new standard to apply. And they said, it's not okay under that standard. We're just looking at the text. We're just looking at history, and history would not allow this type of restriction.
How likely is this case to make it up to the Supreme Court?
I think that really depends on whether or not the Supreme Court wants to keep taking big Second Amendment challenges. So if this ultimately is appealed up to the Supreme Court, it really is, again, a question of whether or not there are four justices who say, we want to make sure to remake Second Amendment law very quickly. And I think there are four votes to do that.
Jessica Levinson, our regular legal eagle here at Press Play. She teaches law at Loyola Law School. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up, a growing fight over 10,000-year-old water sitting underneath the Mojave Desert.
This water has been accumulating for thousands of years, and the consequences are going to echo for thousands of years. You know, we're not just going to see like a pit in the earth open up.
The ethical debate over prehistoric water amid our historic drought. That's next on Press Play.